Happy Sunday, March 29th, 2026. I'm Blois Olson, and we are live on a Sunday morning because we're at the end of the first quarter of 2026. It's not raining, like the song says. It's going to be a glorious Sunday. So why not get up, get out, get going? But I was contemplating what the topic of the week was. And I thought it might be good to check in with Minnesota on the mood of Minnesota. What's on the mind of Minnesota? 651-461-9226. We'll take your calls and your texts, and we'll start to look at this election year, this midterm, one quarter in. And let's just say it was quite the quarter. I don't know if it's age or maturity, wisdom, but I find myself more and more reflective during these times about what the mood of Minnesota and the mindset is after the January, February, and March that we just had. And I wonder if we realize this. And it struck me this week. And I'm only going to go back to last June when Melissa Hortman and Mark Hortman were assassinated and the Hoffmans were shot. So we start there. Then we have Annunciation. And then we have fraud. Then Walls drops out. Then we have Metro Surge. And when I talk about kind of the signal versus the noise of the state, I'm really trying to find the signals because there has been so much noise, including yesterday with the rally, the No Kings rally at the Capitol. Now, by saying it's noise does not mean that in a critical way. It's just how do you find the signals in yesterday's No Kings rally? So let us count the ways. What are the signals that that rally shows about our state, about our country, and about this midterm election year? The first signal is there's a lot of energy against the president. And when you look at that energy in the crowd in St. Paul, Minnesota being ground zero, thanks in many ways to Metro Surge, we start to wonder if Republicans can counter that energy in Minnesota in 2026. And so the other signals that are there were not just at the Capitol. I was out running errands, and there were a few hundred people on the side of the road protesting in Golden Valley. There are a few dozen people on overpasses most mornings. Sustaining that energy in a political environment is one of the things that is a challenge for political movements. But the anti-Trump movement is that full of energy. And that is probably the least of Republicans' worries in November. Because Trump was always unpopular amongst the left and some independents. So it's not a surprise that there's anti-Trump energy. The surprise is that it's sustainable. But as we look at Minnesota's economy, the nation's economy, one quarter into the year, you start to see some other pieces. Your texts are coming in, 651-461-9226. And I will take them and read them, or I'll take your calls at 651-461-9226. The anti-Trump energy is one thing. But what is the short and long term biggest risk for Republicans in Minnesota and across the country. We'll talk about that when we come back. I'm Blaise Olson. This is Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. Happy Sunday. It is currently 74 in the studio, not quite 74 outside, but it's going to be nice later. It's 45. It's going to be a great day. I hope you're out either for a morning walk, morning drive. Maybe you're on your way to church. Maybe you're leaving church. But these are the weekend days we love in Minnesota after the winter we've had. And if we get another blizzard or snow dump, I will take all the blame. Because, Josh, yesterday I swapped in the golf clothes into the closet.
Mm.
So all the shorts went in,
yeah.
All the polos. And I think today I'm going to put the patio furniture out.
Just slow steps.
Just to get it out.
You don't want to go too far.
I'm not putting the cushions out.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, we're
still about a month from being out of the woods.
We'll blow off the patio a little. We'll, you know, just get ahead of spring.
For sure.
Your calls and texts are coming in. Taxes, car, property, license tab fees, certainly a top issue at the legislature. Minnesota is becoming a socialist state. I'm not going to debate parts of that. And what is Republicans' counter going to be that's going to win the hearts and minds of voters? That's Republicans' challenge right now. So-called anti-Trump energy is fueled by one thing, hate. They hate the man with an unreasoned hatred. There is no doubt hate for Trump. And as populist as Trump is, the dislike of him is just as populist. And so in my lifetime, watching the ebbs and flows of populism to and fro against Trump, for Trump, is probably one of the, it is, not one of them, it might be, no, it is, let me be declarative, one of the most, if not the most, influential dynamics in the 30 years that I've covered politics. And we are in an era that I think this is economically, socially, politically, educationally. I think we're in an unprecedented era on so many levels that the only thing I can do is slow down and watch it, because I have no idea where this state or this country will be in 2 to 4 to 8 years. And that's not something that I used to say. I used to kind of see where things were going. And I see where things are going, but I just don't know in this volatile time how long they'll go. Your text coming in, 651-461-9226. But I did tell you that I would have the real Achilles heel for Republicans in this midterm. And they're both tied to the economy. When Trump was reelected, I had some conversations with folks in D.C., some folks close to the Trump campaign, high-ranking Republicans, both on the air and off. And they made a bet based on tariffs, based on redomesticating manufacturing, based on the big bill, that the economy in America would flip to a robust place. And the reality is it hasn't flipped fast enough. Now, I said probably on this show, that if it flipped hard in a good direction by June or July of this year, that Americans might flip to a more pro-Trump, pro-Republican mood. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no sign that it's going to flip. And in my lifetime and in my study of economics, no economy has flipped as fast as this economy would need to flip. And in Minnesota, there are two parts of the state where Republicans and Trump have done well that they are in deep jeopardy of losing. Losing ground on. Margins will be thinner, I believe, in rural Minnesota for Republicans. And I believe Republicans know that. I think Republicans know that the next few months, seats that were not in play could be in play. And there's two industries as to why. One, mining, and two, agriculture. Agriculture has had a tough couple of years. Some of it trade related. Some of it weather related. There hasn't been a new trade deal. USMCA is up for review. We had this same dynamic in 2018. Trump's first midterm. Farmers were struggling. They needed trade deals, and there weren't any. Now you have weather. And fertilizer input costs. The Strait of Hormuz closure is impacting the cost of fertilizer. If farmers don't have fertilizer or they can't afford it, people don't have food. Simple economics says that if you have less food, prices will go up. We've already seen fuel prices go up. Fertilizer prices are skyrocketing, much less availability. And agriculture was already in a very, very fragile state. Minnesota lost farms last year. And so if ag is really, really struggling come summer and November, agricultural voters who have been strongly Trump voters, especially in the Midwest, may shift. And a shift of 5 to 10 percentage points could mean that Democrats pick up seats in the House or the Senate. That's just the reality. Now, I do believe that pro-Trump energy in rural parts of our state will stay strong. But if the economy is sinking in ag world, an ag country, we're going to have more and more challenges on costs, which will, I think, push the economy even more and more into challenging recessionary times. The other area that Republicans are going to have to deal with is mining. Story in the Star Tribune today about getting mining going. Is this the time? How are we going to do it? This is a federal issue. This is a state issue. But the reality is, if we are redomesticating manufacturing, if we are using, if Republicans are going to push forward on using natural resources more and expanding mining, they're going to have to do it quick. It's going to have to add optimism. Why? Because even now there are two iron ore mines in Minnesota shut down on pause. That means people aren't getting paychecks. They are not working. And on the Iron Range, a longtime DFL stronghold where Republicans have overtaken, if that's not working and the economy is not great, it's unlikely Republicans are going to come to their rescue. It's more likely the Democrats are going to extend unemployment benefits and bring more hope to the area, at least to raise a family. And this is an area that's already struggling to keep population because they don't have great paying jobs. And so you could see that. And so those are two areas where Republicans in Minnesota are at risk. And how are we going to see that show up in these races? People vote their pocketbooks. They vote their emotions. And if things are really not good by November, it's not just going to be a normal midterm. It could be, I hate this term, but blue wave. It could be just, look, Democrats are doing that. And the closest thing we've had to that in my 30 years is 1994, when Democrats didn't see it coming and Republicans took control of Congress. And you could see something like that happen, and then you'd have the last 2 years of Trump's administration at absolute loggerheads with Congress, the House and the Senate. The math is tougher for Democrats in the Senate to take control, but you just don't know. We're only a quarter of the way into the year. In Minnesota, think about that quarter. Walls drops out. Renee Good is killed. Alex Preddy is killed. We have a tied legislature. The angst is very high. The economy is just slowing and slowing. You look at fuel prices. And this is, by the way, this is after inflationary times during the Biden times. So I'm not like we are in an economic stretch of struggle. Your texts are coming in, 651-461-9226. I'd be happy to take some calls after the bottom of the hour. But Republicans are going to need to flip the switch if they have any hope of the majority in the Minnesota legislature and maybe even not losing a congressional seat. We'll talk about the congressional seat that could be at risk in the next half hour. I'm Blois Olson. You're listening to the Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. We're back. It is a Sunday Take. I am Blois Olson. Josh Wheeler keeping me on the air, making sure that button is close by in case my mouth goes off a little too harsh. But I'm pretty mellow this morning.
Yeah.
Kind of calm. I mean,
you
look
at the
weather. Yeah. Got my coffee, some water. High of 69 today. It'll be good. Your texts are rolling in, 651-461-9226. And one of these texts is really, I think, telling of the mood of Minnesota. And whoever 651 last 49490, I think you've put your finger on it. And it is the way in which many Minnesotans feel, is that the concern for our state outweighs the concern for the country. And time and time again, our country tends to correct itself and right itself. But our state has not shown that trend in 20 years. Many people at the Capitol and across Minnesota fear another DFL trifecta. And they should in many ways. Because you could only imagine what was left on the table the last couple years, and then you add in ICE, you add in the new socialism of legislators and city councils, and a trifecta would be trouble for our state. And here's why. Texter says, we have an imbalance. Minnesota is not competitive. Our cost of living keeps going up. The cost of doing business here keeps going up. And people are not staying here. We've talked about it in higher ed. We had a show a couple weeks ago. Go to the podcast page on your favorite podcast. And it was, you know, the workforce summit we did with the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, where college presidents know that it's cheaper to keep kids in state, but we're not keeping the kids in state, and then it's tougher to get them back. And in the future, if we don't have business expansions, we can't rest on our laurels economically. And that's what DFLers don't seem to be able to correct themselves from. And this is where signal and noise really plays off, because the noisiest, if you watch the Minneapolis City Council or the Hennepin County Board this past week, there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of emotion. Not about how to bring jobs to the state, but about how basic public service says that our property taxes are supposed to be funding are not the priority of these boards. The livability challenges of our cities is directly related to the policies of those councils. And now you have a Hennepin County commissioner saying she doesn't favor supporting funding the Hennepin County Sheriff to deal with public safety. Excuse me? This is where Democrats don't understand the mood of Minnesota or the mindset that public safety is still in the top three things people expect from their local government. And caller 9490 understands that if we do not have a more competitive environment, we're in trouble. So think about that. Think about how we're going to keep Minnesota competitive. I have two college-age kids. I've been in the mindset that even though my businesses are in Minnesota, even though I'm here, that I will be here for at least 15 more years, some way, shape, or form, in Minnesota, I don't know if my kids are coming back. I think one of them is. I think one of them might not for a while. And then you start to say, okay, if my kids don't come back and my business can be done anywhere, or we add a market or two, why wouldn't we try to expand? Maybe Minnesota is not the growth engine. Maybe it is Arizona. Maybe it is Texas. Maybe it is Florida. And many of you will say, well, I wouldn't want to live there. Quality of life, culture, all those things. That's the joy and the economic ability of remote work. You can move around. And if you plan it out, by the way, as long as fuel costs come back to earth, you know, the tickets aren't that much. If you schedule your weekends at the beginning of the year, airline tickets are not expensive. I learned that hack about a year and a half ago. It's made my life a little easier. Because even if you book them cheap and you don't use them, you get the credit back, Josh.
Yes.
It's worked.
Yes.
It's worked. And so what's the race that Republicans are starting to be a little worried about in Minnesota? It's the first congressional district. Brad Finstad, sitting congressman. This is Tim Walz's old seat. Prior to that, it was held by Gil Gutnick. It stretches from the South Dakota border to the Wisconsin border across, I don't know, the lower 20% of the state. Borders the metro and the growth of the exurbs on the southern metro. And includes Rochester, Mankato, Austin, Worthington. And it has got an independent streak that goes back to the 80s and 90s. Tim Penny used to represent this part of the state. And Brad Finstad he's a conservative Republican, but he's not Trump-like. He's a get the work done, do the work, sits on the Ag Committee, chairs an Ag subcommittee, advocates for his district. And Jake Johnson, the Democrat, is a teacher. And he's raised $1 million. And if the economy turns and the mood of the country is a certain way, you could see that race starting to narrow. I know it's on the radar of National Democrats. And this is where you start to look at the energy and turnout for the 2026 election. In 2024, Brad Finstead won 58-41. That's a big margin. His opponent was Rachel Bowman. She barely raised any money. And so, what do you see as the dynamic down there? Ag country, healthcare, Mayo, immigration. Sat next to a gentleman in at the Ag Gala dinner, a farmer, on Tuesday night. Thanks to Compeer Financial and Farm Bureau for having me to the Ag Gala dinner on National Ag Day, on National Farm Week. Gentleman from Worthington, farmer, both of his kids farm in the Worthington area. And what do you want to talk to me about? Their Main Street in Worthington. That it's back to the lively 50s type life in Worthington, Minnesota. And there's been a lot of, there's been some stories about Worthington and where they've struggled on immigration. But this farmer, third, fourth generation farmer, probably more, with his kids farming, was talking to me about the diversity of Worthington being an asset. And then you look at the overcorrection of something like Metro Surge and what it did to rural economies, and you're going to start to have people kind of shake their head. What are they doing? And that's why the first district could be in play. And then you look at Rochester. It's diversifying. Housing is a challenge. Healthcare, likely to be a top two or three issue. It's a number one issue in our research in Minnesota, is healthcare affordability is the number one issue right now in Minnesota. And we're a healthcare state. And we just had a line of sell to a national player. And so there's a fair amount of shakeout that is going to happen. And so watch the first district. I'm not in March predicting elections, but these are the trends a quarter of the way into the year that we're going to have to watch. And we're going to have to watch them carefully. And we're going to have, as I travel the state and get the mood, we're going to get a sense. Can Democrats overcome Brad Finstead's 58%? No, but if they have to spend money there, that means they're not spending money in other races where Republicans are going to need it, including statewide in the governor's race and in the Senate race, which is really what's at stake this year. And by the way, this week we nailed down the Farm Fest debate schedule. It'll be the first Wednesday in August will be the gubernatorial debate and the U.S. Senate debate. All things go as planned. We'll have one or both of those as part of the take and programming here on WCCO. But it's going to be a raucous year. And as I told my team before the end of the year, pace yourselves. But we sprinted into the new year pretty fast. I'm Blaise Olson. When we come back, the juggernaut that is Klobuchar, and that's in DFLers' back pocket, and we haven't even talked about it. You're listening to Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. We're back on Sunday Take. It's 9:50. Corzo's up next. He'll talk about sports. I don't know. Wild and Wolves do not look ready for the playoffs. And, you know, as one of those Minnesota sports fans who refuses to get too excited until they're actually in a championship series. I am having no trouble not being excited about the Wild going into the playoffs. Will I watch? Yes. Will I have great optimism and hope? No. I just don't. Unless they're getting something out of their system that I can't tell.
They'll be fine.
Huh?
I'm not too worried about it.
You think a first round playoff?
I do not see this team being knocked out in the first round. This is a different team. This is a different vibe. But here's the thing, and why not to cut too deep into it, but it's basically we're facing Dallas, so I really don't get worked up over a loss in Boston or something. Just get me to the playoffs. We'll talk then, but like whatever happens from here on out, I'm not super worried.
It's a mindset, Josh. If they're not feeling like they're winning going into the playoffs, they're going to have a brain fog what it takes to win.
Yeah.
And we'll see. And like if Boston was the only bad game. All right.
Yeah.
That's the next show. This is Sunday Take. But we have takes on sports. We have Sports Take. If you go to thedailyagenda.com, you can sign up for all of our tip sheets. Morning Take, Lunch Take, Ag Take, Health Take, Sports Take, Minnesota Good. We'll keep you informed. We'll keep you there. Your texts keep coming out. Need people like Tim Penny and Gil Gutnick back. The role of Amy Klobuchar. And I'm missing the point that Republicans have taken positions that are duly unpopular. No, I think some of their positions like tax reform and tax breaks are popular. The problem is that the noise of the distractions and the tone of the politics and the fact that we have TSA agents not getting paychecks is dysfunction. There is fundamental dysfunction in our governance. Now, it's never been smooth. You can text in about like, this is the way our forefathers meant it to be. But if national security is one of the top priorities and things that we depend on the federal government for crying out loud, you should be able to pay the people who protect our airports. No matter what your party. That is the kind of dysfunction that will hurt in November. We winter in Palm Desert, but all four kids came back to Minnesota and it'll always be home. Never Texas or Florida. Well, la-ti-da. Palm Desert. Again, I'm just saying this next generation, maybe they'll come home at some point, but there has to be jobs here. That's why. The 320 area code comes in strong about the trifecta. And Republican positions is why we're on the verge of another trifecta. Yes, and. Again, there's never just one reason these elections flip. More to the Minnesota means more to me than the nation. Thanks for coming in from Minnetonka. Appreciate your text. The legislature's on break this week. And I wrote Friday that they can use a break. And I'm looking at Meet the Press and the crowds across the nation. And the energy of those crowds still does not signify the conversation with normal people. It is the collective unit that got 100,000 people to march in Minnesota yesterday. But we're a state of 6 million people, 4 million voters. And so that is a good, like getting 100,000 people to do anything collectively is good. A couple weeks, we'll have the Morgan Wallen concert. There'll be 100,000 people in two nights at U.S. Bank Stadium. Hopefully the Twins opener draws a sellout, even though energy and attitude about the team isn't great. But here's my take this week. And it's directed straight at legislators who I know listen to the show. So if you see them while they're on break, or you message them while they're on break, tell them to go and talk to people in a grocery store. Tell them to go talk to people at a sporting event, a youth sports event, or a high school sporting event. Tell them to go talk to people at a church that isn't their denomination. Because if we do not break the bubble of governance, of only listening to your caucus or the special interest groups that influence your caucus, this legislative session is going to feel like going to the dentist, the orthodontist, having a root canal, and having some extractions between now and the end of the session. Many veterans say just adjourn now. But Governor Walz has scheduled his State of the State for April 28th. Happens to also be Lily Olson's birthday. I doubt she'll be watching the Governor's State of the State on her birthday. But what is really going to happen is, if he does not find a new gear by the end and lay out what he wants in his final session, this legislature is not going to get it done. I'm Blaise Olson. I'll be with Vanita tomorrow at 6:20. You can always read our stuff at thedailyagenda.com. I appreciate all your texts this morning. Enjoy the weather today. Corzo's up next. Let's see if he's as pessimistic about the playoffs and Minnesota teams. Until next week, that's The Take.